it really is good for you, because we then get to see how our lives and our presence here Sunday after Sunday reaches other people. What a tremendous gift you are to us, right? And hopefully we are to you. So I just want to thank you all, but in a very, very special way. All of the people who come Sunday after Sunday and have to listen to me. They get a break every once in a while when Father Tom comes, but most of the time it's me. Up on the altar, some of you may not remember or have not seen Father Angel Torres, who is here with us at St. Francis. He's going to help us out here at the parish. And so many of you maybe recognize Eddie, who's gotten a bit taller. Kai has the Sunday off, Kai, right? So we'll get Kai next week. But I want you to keep Eddie in your prayers, especially. He's having some diagnostic tests, so keep him in your prayers for Mass today, right? And his family. Anyway, as we gather today, and we hear these readings, I was thinking there's so much here. There really is so much here. I was thinking that we really are lucky that we have a God who gives us second chances all the time. You know the old joke, what's the difference between people who pray in a casino and people who pray in church? Yeah, people in the casino mean it, right? So, you got that, right? If you're not in church, I wonder, right? So, but it's true, right? And so when they come, right? Like, thank you, right? There's a college fund, right? So anyways, but listen to this. This is so astounding for us as we come here and we spend a little time together. This God loves us so much that in many cases, it doesn't matter what our first response is, right? God continually gives us an opportunity to change our mind. We hear that in the reading from Ezekiel. Ezekiel is one of the later prophets who's writing at a time of the demise of Judea, the kingdom of Judea. And there's a king there who's trying to establish some religious reforms, but he's failing miserably. He's really failing miserably. And so Ezekiel comes along, just what you need, right? When you're working as hard as you can, you need somebody to tell you you're not doing a good enough job, right? But anyway, you see, and that's why many prophets lose their head, right? In many ways, it's not an enviable job. But in many ways, we hear Ezekiel really saying, and he's almost putting it in legalistic terms. He's almost putting it in a kind of a litigation. What about this? What happens if somebody changes their mind? And what do we hear? What do we hear Ezekiel saying? God accepts that. God forgives them immediately. What a tremendous kind of God we have that always is giving us second chances, right? When I was a friar in formation, I lived with one of the members of our general council, and I didn't like him very much, and I don't think he liked me very much. And we were at Mass one time, and I'm a bit of a liturgist. I pride myself on thinking that I know the liturgy in and out. And he did something at liturgy that I was so offended. My Majesty was so offended by it. And of course, he's a much older, it was a much priest longer than I was. And I said something to him, and he snapped back at me. When you live in community, I think starts at other people are hell, right? I think, right? So that when we come to this kind of religious understanding of how we should be with each other, sometimes our human failings get in the way. And I remember thinking about how correct I was and my own self-righteousness. And maybe I was or maybe I wasn't. But he came down to me. We were in the refectory, and he came down, and I was all gearing up for a fight with him. And he said, it's better to understand than be understood. And I got it right away. And it took all of the fight out of me. And I thought, what a different approach we would have if we come to understand and tolerate each other's weaknesses. And isn't that a different attitude that sometimes we have? I mean, it really is. Especially many of you, I've joined a marriage or I'm going to join a marriage. Many of you are already in long-term relationships. It's a real lesson for us, right? That perhaps maybe if we had the mind of Christ, which Paul is enjoining on us today from a prison cell in Philippi. And Paul thinks this is the end of his life, by the way. And so he's writing. And this hymn to Christ is astounding. I teach Christology in our seminary. Christology is the understanding of who Christ is for us. And this hymn from Philippians is so beautiful. Think about this just for a moment. If we can grasp that this Jesus, who was equal with God, right, did not deem equality with God, something to be grasped at. That's an astounding notion. That this God who you and I come here on Sundays to celebrate, and who we hopefully live in each and every moment of our lives, is someone that it was in flesh just like you and I, and so that he did not deem equality with God.
the Gospel of Matthew uses that as a little bit of a twist. In an honor-shame society, the person who would have thought to have done the right thing was the son who said yes, rather than embarrassing his father in front of his social peers, even though he didn't do it, right? And so Jesus really uses that as a juxtaposition, and Paul uses it to remind us that humility of Christ, which, by the way, in that society would have been unheard of. It was a radical paradigm shift to think that someone would so humble themselves and empty themselves of status. But yet, that's what Jesus did, and that's what we're invited into. When I was in religious life, they used to say to us, why don't you think of your brothers as being a little closer to God than you are? And if we think about that, right, it does keep us humble. It keeps us really genuinely humble. It allows us to put on the mind of Christ, to believe that maybe someone's a little closer to God in prayer than I am. What a tremendous paradigm shift that is for some of us in many ways. But Paul got it, and Jesus got it. So we see in this Gospel of Matthew that Jesus is here, it's like you and I may have gotten the full import of this. Of course, you don't want to be embarrassed by your children in front of people. Of course, what your children do reflects on you. And in an honor-shame society, this was even more important. So Jesus says to them, which of these sons did the right thing? Most of them knew that it was the first son who first said no and went ahead and did it, right? But probably they wanted to say, of course, the second son, because we want to believe what we want to believe sometimes. And so Jesus uses this as an important lesson. Right before this, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are asking Jesus, by what authority do you teach? And so they're saying, in essence, we didn't license you. We didn't give you permission to do this. I think that we in St. Francis can identify with that a little bit, right? When the Roman Church says, by what authority do you do this? We didn't license you. We'd like for you to go away, right? And we don't. And so Jesus says to them, listen, this word came to you, the house of Israel. And you didn't listen. You said yes, but you didn't do what was asked of you. Micah reminds us that what God asks of us is to walk humbly, to love God, right, and to be of service. That's what the people of Israel, to be a righteous member of the house of Israel, meant to care for the widow, the alien, and the orphan. And so Jesus is saying to his hearers and to you, is that listen to this word. Let it take root in your heart. Let the mind of Christ determine your actions relative to one another. So that when Jesus says to you and I, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. He doesn't say, you come, but don't you. He doesn't say, you can come, but you can't. He says, come to me, all of you. That's the message that's the message always at the heart of the gospel. That's the message that I hope we at St. Francis preach by our very lives. St. Francis told his children, his sons and daughters, that we should preach all of the time and when we had to use words, right? So that by our very actions, you should see something of the love of Christ in our behavior. And Paul is telling us that. And so Jesus is saying to his hearers, listen. There are people who heard John's message and repented. And now they're entering the kingdom before you are. You think that that's your inheritance. But be careful. Because if you don't care for your inheritance, other people are going to receive that. And so we have to pay attention equally as well. And so Jesus uses exactly what his hearers, I don't need your authority to teach. I don't need a license from the temple to speak about the reality of God's love in our world and remind you that what we are called to do is to care for the widow, the alien, and the orphan. And so Matthew, who is the author of this gospel, is a tax collector. He's one of the outcasts. He has a vested interest in this gospel. He really wants to grind this axe. And so anytime we hear prostitute in church, our ears pick up, right? Absolutely. So it provokes us into thinking. But for you and I, in many, many ways, this message is for us. At those moments of our life, maybe when we have felt so outcasted, when we have felt so not a part of, maybe when our own experience of the all-inclusive love of God has led us in a way different. Maybe that's when we felt alone. Maybe that's when we felt like we were in the darkness screaming. And Jesus says to us, no. That's what I came for. You're who I came for. You who are hearing this are recognizing the need for the healing love in your life. That's who I came for. Not those who already think they have it, right? not those who already think that they know better than anybody else. And I have to be careful, as many of you know, I teach. And so sometimes I start to believe that I'm a repository of all wisdom, right? And I'm not. I'm really not. Sometimes when I came into Mass today, I was talking to a couple that I married last year, and their nephew, Aiden, asked me, why did Jesus die? Right? Now, Aiden is how old? He's three. What a profound question. I don't have an answer for that, right? I'd like to have an answer for that, but sometimes it's in the not knowing. Sometimes it's in the ability to recognize that we don't, that this love of Jesus takes hold of our heart and we respond in a different way. And so I think that Jesus in the scripture today is speaking certainly to people who would have understood this kind of honor-shame, but it's also speaking to us about how when we're feeling outcast, about how when, and by the way, we all change our minds sometimes, right? All of you are here probably because you've had a bit of a change of mind about God maybe, and then that change of mind maybe you had to think about church, right? And then you had to think about your experience of church, and then it maybe led you on a journey to find this church. And so maybe you all, I changed my mind. I was having dinner with my family last night in Long Branch, and they were reminding me of my life before I was dressed like this, right? And so, and you know how families are, right? And they all have different memories of that, right? And so I think to myself that God is a God of second chances. It doesn't matter. All of that went before me. All of those fears and doubts which maybe led me to behaviors that wouldn't look like the most Christian of behaviors are all in this moment forgotten by God. And summed up in this, in these readings, that it doesn't matter. We can all change our minds, right? If we make a decision, we make a mistake, we can make another decision, and God doesn't ever hold that against us. There's a wonderful phrase in the Old Testament that God does not even hold the memory of our sins. And so that's what I think Jesus is saying. He's always, always, always in the Gospel of Matthew, inviting us to think about who God is to us, who we are to each other. He invites us continually to put on the mind of Christ. Last week we heard how God's thinking about the abundance in the world is not our thinking, and how God always invites us into this unfathomable and extravagant love that he has for us, that results always, always, always in him never remembering our other decisions, only the one that moves us closer and closer to him. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.